Amen, church. Let's just praise the Lord again and give thanks for those who've led us in worship. Amen. Put your hands together, church. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Greg. And we do go a ways back. And it's so good to be with you all this morning. My oldest daughter, Melissa, is with me. My wife, Jennifer, and our two younger children are back home in Richmond. My wife teaches Bible study there on Sunday mornings. And so she was staying there today to teach and to serve at our home church. And let me just say a word of thanks to you, as Pastor was already sharing with you. My role's changed a little bit this past summer. I went from having been a church planner and a founding pastor and pastoring church for a little over 10 years to now serving in a new role for me, a role where I really serve on your behalf. And really, I come on behalf of, with a word of thanksgiving for all you do, your prayers, your giving, your support, your sending. On behalf of all your missionaries that you support, behalf of church planners, seminary students, thank you for being what I call a strong church. And I pray today that I'll follow in the footsteps of the likes of the Apostle Paul. And really, my prayer is simple today, that I will strengthen the church. Amen. That I'll encourage you in your walk with the Lord. I'll encourage you as you seek to be a strong church with that bold commitment to the Great Commission. I love the Virginia Beach area. In fact, Melissa, who's now 13, we were living in Virginia Beach when she was born over at a hospital in Norfolk. And so it's a little bit of a homecoming for us. And so good to be with you. And it's always good to be in one of our churches. Always a privilege to preach the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and to see what God is doing in the churches. Because I come with a word of thanks for our missionaries, but really, I'm looking at a room full of missionaries, by the way, because I believe God has called each and every one of us, not just to be church members, but to be Christian missionaries. God has called you, and I'm trusting you believe it, because I read it in the hallway on the way in here, that God has called each of you to be His missionaries as you glorify God by making disciples in your neighborhoods and in this nation and around the world. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's exactly what we're to be about. So really, my prayer today is I'll encourage you as a room full, an army of missionaries. And so I'm grateful for you being here today. And I'm also very thrilled to see that there's at least a couple more folks from JMU that did end up getting saved and now go to church, even though it did sound like it was just a couple. But I spent 4 years as a student at JMU, and I can tell you that it's amazing to know that at least a couple of us got out being saved. But anyhow, no, I'm so thankful to see y'all. And I want to ask you to do something today. I want to ask you to take your Bible and find the book in the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to find the book of Habakkuk, all right? You know, my she's now five-year-old daughter, the youngest, Jenna. I was reading the book of Habakkuk one day, and she asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm reading the book of Habakkuk. She thought I said a bad haircut. And she never heard the book of Habakkuk. Maybe you've never heard the book of Habakkuk, and maybe you're trying to find it. Well, I'll help you out. It's right after the book of Nahum, all right? Right after the book of Nahum. And right before the book of Zephaniah. That probably didn't help much either, does it? Well, just remember what your librarian taught you in elementary school. Push come to shove, just go look in the table of contents. Don't ever be ashamed to do that. God wants you to get in His Word. And really, in the book of Habakkuk today, we really find here what I call some emergency announcements, some emergency instructions. I'm going to do something that isn't always typical of when I preach, Pastor Greg. I'm going to kind of walk y'all through the whole book of Habakkuk. Now, don't get too worried. It's only 3 short chapters, and we won't go super in-depth. But this is an important book for the day and age we live in, because I think we're living in some times where some sirens are going off, so to speak. I think we're living in a day and age when really the emergency lights are blinking in our nation, around the world, and perhaps even in your own personal life this weekend after Thanksgiving. So I want us to look here at some emergency announcements. Now, before we do so, I thought I'd share with you some funny announcements that came on airplanes. How many ever flown an airplane before? Just raise your hand. You know how they start off before you take off? The flight attendant gives those announcements. And I remember the first time I flew, I was flying out of Norfolk International Airport, and I was sitting there, and the flight attendant gets on the PA system, begins to make the announcements, right? Now, what really bothered me was this, no one was paying attention. to the emergency announcements. That really unnerved me because I considered it to be rather important for us to know where the emergency exits were. I needed to know how to put on the oxygen mask. And it bothered me that all these folks were just sitting around reading their newspapers and drinking their coffee and not paying a bit of attention, all right? And maybe now you've flown some. I've flown a good bit. Now I don't pay all that much attention either. But these are some funny ones right here. Just listen to a few of these. Let's see if this will kind of get us into the listening mode here. Pilot said this, folks, we've reached our cruising altitude now, so I'm going to switch the seatbelt sign off. Feel free to move about as you wish, but please stay inside the plane till we land. It's a bit cold outside, and if you walk on the wings, it affects the flight pattern. Now, listen to this one here. After landing, the pilot said this, or maybe it's flight attendant, thank you for flying Delta Business Express. We hope you enjoyed giving us the business as much as we enjoyed taking you for a ride. If you've flown lately, that'll make sense to you, all right? I like this one. As you exit the plane, please make sure to gather all your belongings. Anything left behind will be distributed evenly among the flight attendants. Please do not leave children or spouses. Now, this is my favorite one. This will be the last one I'll bother to take your time up with. This was from a Southwest Airlines flight. Welcome aboard Southwest flight, whatever the number was, to Chicago. To operate your seatbelt, insert the metal tab into the buckle and pull tight. It works just like every other seatbelt, and if you don't know how to operate one, you probably shouldn't be out in public unsupervised. In the event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will descend from the ceiling. Stop screaming, grab the mask, and pull it over your face. If you have a small child traveling with you, secure your mask before assisting with theirs. If you're traveling with two children, decide now which one you love more. I thought that was good. Now listen, those are kind of funny and all that, but hey, in all seriousness, the book of Habakkuk gives us some very serious announcements that we need to take stock of today. So I want us to lock in now to the book of Habakkuk, and let's pray and ask God's blessing on our study today. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I just consider it a privilege to be able to stand before these loved ones and to share the scripture. Lord, thank you. Thank you for their pastor, their pastoral team, and this room full of missionaries. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in their midst. Lord, I pray that the word of God today will indeed strengthen their walk and their work for you, Lord. God, thank you that we don't have to wonder about your will for our lives, but we can rest upon your sure word. It is a foundation for us. So, Lord, now I pray that as we consider some announcements in the book of Habakkuk, you would help us. You would help us as your people to understand how, Lord, in the emergencies of life, in the tough times of life, how we can respond as you teach us. Lord, I know in a room like this are all kinds of different needs. And Lord, I pray today that you will take your scripture and use your sure word, Lord, to strengthen, to comfort, to discipline, to exhort, to encourage. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, to be pleasing to you, O Lord, in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, the book of Habakkuk is an interesting one. You really won't find any mention of the prophet Habakkuk anywhere else in your Bible. It was most likely penned about 2,500 years ago. But Habakkuk, as you're going to see here, is grieved. He is concerned. The nation of Judah, in which he calls home, is in serious trouble spiritually. A lot of folks just aren't paying attention. They're in really the midst of ungodly leadership as a nation, and there's a lot of concern in the soul of this prophet. In fact, Judah had actually had a history. The tribe of Judah, they had a history of some poor leadership. Besides, King Josiah, they really hadn't had hardly any kings that really had sought after the Lord. And Habakkuk is grieved within his spirit. Look with me really at verse 2, chapter 1. Habakkuk, here's what he says. He says, O Lord, How long shall I cry for help? How long shall I call for help, and you will not hear, or cry out to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. He says this, so the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. It's as if Habakkuk is saying, God, it appears that your righteous ways, your very word, is making no difference at all. He is seriously worried, concerned, burdened, and really, he's somewhat complaining to God. He's saying, Lord, in the midst of what's going on here, do you not see this? Are you not listening? Are you not, Lord, paying attention? He is being very, very frank with the Lord here, isn't he? And I think what you see right here in chapter 1 in the letter, the book of Habakkuk, is you find here, really, I think the first insight you get into how we can respond to tough times when the emergency signals are going off in our lives, how we can respond in our nation, how we can respond personally. Here's the first insight. Number one, in tough times, listen, in tough times, believers can talk with the Lord honestly. I am struck by the fact that what you will see in the book of Habakkuk, and you can sit down this afternoon or tomorrow morning, you can read through the whole book of Habakkuk. It'll probably take you, depending on how fast you read, probably about 15, 20 minutes max to read the whole book. But what you will be struck by in this book is how Habakkuk is so brutally honest with what he is thinking with the Lord. And I want to encourage you to understand this. In tough times, when you're trying to tackle tough times, you don't have to put on some kind of fake smile on your face in regards to the Lord. Listen, the Lord, he already knows what's in your heart, amen? The Lord already knows what you're thinking, isn't that right? So understand this. In tough times, believers, listen, believers can talk with the Lord honestly. And let me just kind of point out some things that Habakkuk asks the Lord. He says, first of all, he says, Lord, are you listening? Verse 2, Lord, how long shall I call for help and you will not hear? Or cry out to you. Literally, that word in the Hebrew language is the word screaming. The first word's a little bit more polite. Kind of like, you know, calling up somebody. Hey, listen, what's going on here? I'm kind of calling for help. I remember when I was just a relatively new father, Melissa, right here. Melissa was 18 months old. By this time, we were living in Colonial Heights, Virginia. We had noticed when she woke up from her nap, my wife had noticed that she was running a fever. And we had run out of Advil, so my wife had said, Brian, why don't you run over to the drugstore and pick up some Advil for the baby? And so I went down to the drugstore. And I came back to the house 15 minutes later. Our neighbor down the street is a policeman. He pulls up behind me, gets out of his car, and I say, hey, what's going on? He goes, we got a 911 call coming in from your house right now. I walk into the house. There I see my wife on the phone with a 911 operator calling for help. And what had occurred is Melissa, 18-month-old Melissa, she had a what turned out to be, we didn't know what was going on at this time, turned out to be one of those fever-induced seizures that little ones can get. And she was in a full-board seizure, absolutely unresponsive, had the scariest look on her face I'd ever seen. It was like she was just staring right through you, non-responsive, eyes just stone cold, wide open. My wife was doing the first thing here in verse 2. She was crying out for help. She had made a call for help. I began to do what you see in the second part of verse 2. I began to scream for help. Now, I wasn't screaming out loud. I was screaming on the inside. I sat down. I took the baby from her hands as she stayed on the phone with 911. I sat down on the couch. The policeman, he sits down next to me, and I began to look at him. And he could see the urgency in my eyes. I began to cry out to him, where are they? How long is it going to take for the paramedics to get here? And he kept getting on that little walkie-talkie, you know, little CB thing on his shoulder. What's your ETA? What's your ETA? I was screaming out on the inside. help. It was as if I was wondering, are they listening? Where are they? That's exactly where Habakkuk is right now in his life. He sees what's going on around him in this nation that he loves. He sees what's going on around him in those who pretend to be religious and followers of the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, are you listening to my prayers? Are you listening to my heart cry? Are you listening to me cry out to you? Maybe you've had some tough times in your life and you're wondering if the Lord's listening to you. You're wondering if the Lord is hearing your prayers. You know, I'm startled to see in the Bible how many ill-tempered prayers there are. I think about Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah basically gripes that whole chapter about God being unfair. I think about Job. Job would say in Job 21:15, what profit do we have if we pray to him? Maybe you've had some moments in your life where you're really wondering if your prayers are falling on deaf ears. Let me just kind of point something out here. You know, why we don't think the Lord's listening to us sometimes? Well, sometimes we're quick to give credit where credit doesn't belong. Sometimes we don't really even keep track of what we've even asked the Lord, do we? And then sometimes we just simply miss God's mercy in the trivial things of life. So sometimes that's why we don't think the Lord's listening. But in this case, Habakkuk is troubled. And maybe that's where you are this morning. And you know, if you're going to be a missionary to your neighbors, you're going to have to settle this in your life. You're going to have to deal with the fact of that haunting thought, does the Lord really listen? And I tell you, he goes on, he quickly asks a second question. He says in verse 3, why do you make me see iniquity and why do you idly look at wrong? Well, he's getting a little more serious with his honesty here. He's talking to the Lord. First of all, he says, Lord, are you listening? Now he's saying, Lord, are you looking? Lord, do you see what's going on around me here? You know, every now and then you have this thought, you'll be watching a television show with your family, the children there in the family room with you and your wife. You're sitting there watching a television show, just minding your own business, and boom, right there comes on the TV some commercial, and it's just out of left field. It's profane in some ways. Maybe you're walking through the mall yesterday or on Friday. I don't know why you're at the mall on Friday anyway. You need to pray about that or something. That's crazy to be at the mall on Friday. But this past Friday, you're walking through the mall. I'll be walking through the mall with my son. My 10-year-old son, and I just have to cover his eyes half the time. My wife's covering my eyes half the time walking through the mall. Habakkuk saying, listen, Lord, are you not looking at all this disgusting stuff around us? He is troubled. He's saying, Lord, this thing is messed up. Why do you make me see iniquity? Verse 3, he goes on, he says, destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. It was a tough, tough world he was waking up in. Do you ever have moments where you just wish you could go back and live in Walnut Grove and on Little House on the Prairie? You ever have moments you just wish you could live on Walton's Mountain? Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, John Boy. But I tell you where I would pick, if I could pick anywhere, I'd pick Mayberry, North Carolina. Amen? Man, you could eat lunch there for a nickel. What a marvelous place. Folks, that's not where we live. We live in the real world. We live in a world where there's violence and strife and destruction and contention. And he says, Lord, is your law paralyzed? So I'll tell you what you need to do. In tough times, believers can talk with the Lord honestly. You can be honest with the Lord about your concerns. It's time we do that. But I tell you, there's a second insight. In tough times, believers, talk with the Lord honestly, but trust in the Lord faithfully. And that's where you really come upon in chapter 2, the theme verse of the whole book. In chapter 2, verse 4, look down there. I want you to look at the end of verse 4, because here is the, if you want to highlight just one verse, this is the verse to highlight. He says, the Lord says, the righteous shall live by his faith. Now listen, if you go on and read this book, you're going to see some interesting things, because what begins to happen is this. The Lord says, well, actually, Habakkuk, I'm getting ready to do something that if I told you I was going to do it, you wouldn't even believe me. Because what the Lord is going to do, the Lord is going to send the Chaldeans, or the, we might would call them, the other name for them is Babylonians. He's going to send this pagan nation's army to basically put a whooping on Judah. And that doesn't make sense to Habakkuk either, because Habakkuk's like, that doesn't make any sense. You're going to deal with our unrighteousness. You're going to actually send the people more unrighteous than us to punish us. I don't get that, God. God, that sounds really unfair. Be kind of like this. If all of a sudden we opened up the newspaper tomorrow morning and found out that the North Koreans had taken over the United States. And God had given you a word and said, by the way, I'm doing this to teach y'all a lesson. Well, that doesn't make a bit of sense. And you see, what the Lord says to Habakkuk is, Habakkuk, you're not going to always understand my greater purpose here. So here's what you got to do. You're going to have to trust in me faithfully. So you see, you have some options here. You can get frustrated with the Lord. And in chapters 1 and 2, Habakkuk really is somewhat frustrated with the Lord. He's like, Lord, what are you doing? This doesn't make sense. And maybe that's where we find ourselves sometimes in our lives. And this is a serious question, because you have neighbors, you have friends, you have classmates, coworkers who don't understand why your great good God allows bad things to happen like they read about in the newspaper. Why is it that the last time I was in this room, Pastor, was I was at the funeral for a young mother of several children who had gotten in a very dark place in her life? That doesn't make sense to me. Now, that's honest talk coming from a preacher, isn't it? Well, the Lord says, listen, you can talk with me honestly, but I want you to trust in me faithfully, all right? Billy Graham was asked. He was asked after the attacks of 9/11. In fact, he was speaking 3 days afterwards. Maybe you saw the memorial service. He was speaking and he was asked, you know, help our country come to terms with these terrorist attacks. And he said this. He said, I've been asked hundreds of times in my life why God allows tragedy and suffering. And I have to confess, I really don't know the answer today to my own satisfaction. He says, I have to accept by faith that God is sovereign and God is a love, and he's a God of love and mercy and compassion in the midst of suffering. You may be here today and you're wondering, how can I celebrate Thanksgiving when I'm going through such a tough time? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You can talk to the Lord honestly, all right? But number two, the Bible says the righteous live by faith. We need to trust the Lord faithfully. Look at your neighbor and say, the righteous live by faith. The righteous live by faith. That becomes such a cardinal principle that it becomes what changes, really, the Apostle Paul's life. It's quoted in the New Testament. Martin Luther, that verse grabs Martin Luther's life and begins what we now call the Protestant Reformation. The righteous shall live by faith. Folks, I'm talking about trusting in the Lord. And I tell you what it leads to. It leads to what happens in Habakkuk's life in chapter 3. Look at that with me. In chapter 3, Habakkuk goes from asking the questions and complaining and talking honestly. He hears God say to him, you got to trust me faithfully. Now Habakkuk gives us his personal statement of faith. It becomes really one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. If you want to just pick one, they're all great, but this is one of the greatest. Habakkuk chapter 3, you find here a picture of triumphant faith. This is the type of faith the Lord wants you and me to have, believers. It says, O Lord, I've heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In your wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. He begins to go through this pondering of the greatness of God. We have sung about the greatness of God today. He says, "Oh Lord, you came from Teman in verse 3, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power." He just begins to go through really a historical perspective of the greatness of our God. I tell you, you want to be a believer who is triumphant, begin to ponder the greatness of your God. You see, listen, in tough times, believers need to talk with the Lord honestly. We need to trust in the Lord faithfully. But listen, in tough times, believers shall triumph in the Lord ultimately. Hear him close with a voice of victory. He ponders this greatness of God. He says, "God, verse 6, you stood and measured the earth. You've looked and shook the nations. The eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways." It is our God who is the everlasting God. Oh, listen, there are tyrants who come and go. There are nations that rise up and think that they're the greatest thing ever. But don't ever forget, loved ones, that it is your Lord God who is the everlasting God. Amen. There are the things of this day that weigh upon us, that get up in our face and cause us concern. But don't ever forget, it is our God who is everlasting. We triumph in our Lord ultimately. Listen, when Habakkuk looked within, man, he found himself trembling with fear. When he looked around, he saw a world in trouble. But oh, when he looked up by faith, he saw his everlasting God. London Bridge Baptist Church, it's not time just to look within. It's not even time just to look around. Oh, you've got to start by looking up. Catch that vision, that triumphant vision of the greatness of your everlasting God. And that will motivate you more than anything I can say to take the gospel of Christ and how your neighbors and the nations can know the one true living God. That'll motivate you to take that good news to the streets. Oh, believers triumph. He prays in verse 2, by the way, for the Lord to revive his work and remember mercy. You want to know something that can be on your list to do, triumphant believers? Here's what you start doing, church. You start praying for God to revive his work among you, and you pray for the Lord to remember his mercy among your neighbors and the nations. I wonder what it'd be like for just scores of you to be gathered right here praying, Pastor, for revival. God to revive his work. It's a pretty wonderful crowd Sunday after Thanksgiving. But oh, what if God really revived you in his work? He goes on and he just praises the Lord here. And I love right at the end, he praises the Lord for his salvation. Verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." And he praises the Lord for his strength. "God the Lord is my strength." Now, I told you, I was just going to give you a quick overview of the book of Habakkuk. You ought to go back and read it on your own. But I just want to give you a picture today. How as believers, when you go through tough times, you know, you can talk to the Lord honestly, all right? But we need to trust in the Lord faithfully. And here's what happens, believers. We shall triumph ultimately. Oh, folks, our God is on his throne. Our God reigns. He is our everlasting God. You know, sometimes as believers, we just have moments where we begin to question whether or not we're going to get to our destination or not. We just begin to question who really is flying this airplane we're on. Who really is our pilot? You know, you ever seen those bumper stickers, "God's my co-pilot"? No. He doesn't need to be your co-pilot. He needs to be your only pilot. Loved ones, today we've been reminded through the Lord's Supper of God's great love for us. And anytime we question if our God loves us and is sustaining us, we just need to remember the Lord's Supper. We just need to remember the cross. We just need to remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Church, today I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. I want to give you, first of all, an opportunity to ask the Lord Jesus to become the pilot of your life. To put your faith, your trust in Him. Your pastor's going to be down front. And you can come forward during a song and talk with your pastor and say, "Pastor, I need Jesus to be at the controls of my life." Now, you may be here in the community and be looking for a church home. I recommend this wonderfully strong church that has a heart for the neighbors and the nations that are all around you. I encourage you to join right here today. You can come forward and talk to the pastor about that. But also, I want to close with this invitation. The Bible tells us, God says, if my people will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, He says He'll bring revival. You know, that's where it has to start, folks. You know, I said this at a church right before the Sunday of the elections. I said, you know what's going to happen is this, is folks are either going to wake up happy or sad Wednesday after the election. And that's pretty much what happened, isn't it? Yeah, call me a prophet. Here's what we must never, ever do. And I encourage, I've never missed an election in my life that I can think of. But we ought never, ever, ever to put our hopes in human thrones. Our hope must rest in the everlasting God who's on the throne of thrones. King of kings, Lord of lords. So Pastor, you come. Pastor, you come, let's stand our feet, and you respond to the Lord. I want to invite you, loved ones, maybe deacons, maybe some of you leaders here, maybe just different neighbors. You just should come right now and just begin to kneel, and let's pray for our nation this Thanksgiving. Abraham Lincoln in 1863 called us to a time of Thanksgiving. He believed in praying for this country. You know what? It's time Christians live by faith. It's time for triumphant faith. So right now, today, as we celebrate our everlasting God, perhaps you just want to come and kneel and pray for God to bring revival to the land. May it begin with us. Amen. God, move among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.